Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and welcome to my show. I'd like to remind you, if you like what you're hearing here on my podcast, we're relatively new. I think we're like 5 weeks into it. If you like, please subscribe, and you can check out all my other podcasts. Also, if you have any questions, sometimes we answer questions on the air. Just email chazpalminterishow@gmail.com. chazpalminterishow@gmail.com. So I'm all set to go. I got my Michigan cup here. And you're going to say, why Michigan? It's my daughter Gabriella goes to the great school, the University of Michigan. So I'm a big Wolverine fan. And somebody last week said, how come all the Berkeley shirts? And my son graduated Berkeley up in Boston. So anyway, I just thought I'd say that. I'm proud of my two children. So what we're going to talk about today is Machiavelli and the mob, especially Sonny. Because the character of Sonny in Bronx Tale, you know, he read Machiavelli in jail.
If I was always right, I wouldn't have done 10 years in the joint.
What did you do every day?
There's only three things you can do in a joint, kid. Lift weights, play cards, or get into trouble.
What did you do?
Me? I read.
What did you read?
You ever hear of Machiavelli?
Who?
Machiavelli. He's a famous writer from 500 years ago. Availability. That's what he always said.
Availability?
That's right. Listen to me. I can live anywhere I want to. You know why I live in this neighborhood? Availability. I want to stay close to everything. Because being on the spot, I can see trouble immediately. Trouble is like a cancer. You got to get it early. If you don't get it early, it gets too big, then it kills you. That's why you got to cut it out.
But not just him. I don't want to make it sound like just he read it. A lot of wise guys would read Machiavelli. You know, it's funny I say that, wise guys. Not only wise guys would read Machiavelli, but presidents would read Machiavelli. I know Clinton read it. Bush read it. They talked about it. A lot of presidents would read it. And I would think about that, you know, because I like to be a, should I call myself a student of Machiavelli? I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but I really read a lot about Machiavelli. I actually had lunch at Machiavelli's house. You don't believe me, do you? But that is a true story. In fact, I wish I could put the video. I have it on my phone here, but I don't know if I could do that. I had lunch at Machiavelli's house in Tuscany. A gentleman bought it. And when he knew my passion for Machiavelli, he said, you know, when I was in Tuscany, he said, you know, I own his house. And I was like, get out of here. And he bought the house where Machiavelli wrote The Prince. Can you believe this? And we went there, my wife and I, and we sat there and we had lunch at his at Machiavelli's house. Obviously, it was restored and everything. It was 500 years old, but it was pretty amazing to be there. And that I just always had this passion to learn about him, and I was very happy that I was able to put it in A Bronx Tale. Machiavelli, what makes him so interesting? You know, let's go back to let's use the stuff that I said in A Bronx Tale when Sonny's speaking to the boy. And he says, I hope I can remember it, even though I wrote it, but I haven't done the one-man show in a long time because of COVID. But he says, availability. He goes, why do you think I live in this neighborhood? He says to the young boy, Calogero, availability, because trouble is like a cancer. When it's small like this, you can cut it out, get it early. But when you're not around to see the trouble, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it eats the whole. Now, what did he mean by that? Availability. Why is it always good to be available as a boss? And Machiavelli said, whether you're a wise guy or president or a CEO, know what's going on. Always have your finger on the pulse. Because he would say, The people that see me here, Machiavelli said this, the people that see me here every day that are on my side, it gives them more reason to love me. But the people that see me here every day that are not on my side, it gives them more reason to fear me because they know I'm close. Wow. Think about that. Think about what he said. You know, it's hard to comprehend that because you say to yourself, that's kind of diabolical, isn't it? But I think Machiavelli believed, and not only him, I think the other philosophers believe that men in their hearts were evil in a way. I know that's terrible to say, but if you think about it, he always said that in the end, whatever means necessary. And who said that? The Malcolm X said that, the great Malcolm X, who, as years went on, I happen to admire very much.
Now, when did you, do you remember the moment you first fell in love with the literature? Or what really caught you?
The moment I first fell in love with it is really back in the, when I was young and I heard the wise guys would read it. And I heard that Sonny would read it. You know, he's the first one to turn me on to it, that he read it. And I started reading it. I said, well, if they're reading this, then I want to read this. I didn't really comprehend it as much when I was younger, to be honest with you. I didn't absorb everything. I was a little too young. But as I got older, the more I read about it, the more I saw that it made sense. I made some notes here about Machiavelli. You know, he obviously was born in May 3rd, 1469, and his father was a lawyer. There it is, right there, folks. His father was a lawyer. Nothing against all the lawyers, but you know what Shakespeare said. First thing we do is kill all the lawyers. So nothing against all the lawyers out there, I mean, he just believed that might makes right. And an interesting thing that he said, that no man... How did he say it? Wait, I wrote it down here. Yeah. He said that no one expects... what did he say? No one expects an armed man to obey an unarmed man. Wow. That's pretty simple, right? No one expects an armed man to obey an unarmed man. Some people accuse Machiavelli of being the devil. Everything he said and everything he strived for was evil. But I don't know. Because think about this. Have you ever seen families fight when someone dies over money? Brother against brother, sister against sister, father against son. He always believed that when it came down to it, self-preservation was all a man or woman would end up doing in the end. I don't know. I find that hard to buy. I always go, well, maybe in some cases, but I know I would stand in front of a bullet for my family. And I'm sure there's other men out there and other women out there that would do that too. So I guess he was talking about being a ruler.
I would love to know just how the wise guys, like how did they incorporate this into what they did?
Well, Machiavelli always used to say that study the bosses. Well, he would say study the princes and the kings from the past and learn from their mistakes. And I think the wise guys would study Machiavelli and think about their bosses and how they screwed up. Mostly all of the mafia, the bosses, they all screwed up. You know when they didn't screw up? I'll tell you what, Michael, when they didn't screw up. When they didn't put ego into the game. You see, once the bosses became, you know, I mean, John Gotti was a charismatic individual. He had the perfect quality to be a boss. He had big balls, and he was intelligent in that world. Usually you get one or the other in that world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Either you're an accountant and you do the mob books, or you're really a thug, but you're not very bright. But to have both qualities, that's pretty rare. Like, probably John Gotti could have been a success in anything he did. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning what he did. You know, he was a gangster and a hoodlum. And I never condone gangsters. Well, you know, that was his life. But he believed, and you know what, in fairness to him, he stayed that way till the very end. I think there's something to be said for that, that he was a man who lived and died by his convictions. I don't know where I went off on John Gotti there for a second.
Well, you were talking about how the mob bosses incorporated Machiavelli.
Yeah. I mean, they just believe that if you have to break your word, and Machiavelli said this, then do it. Because you cannot expect the other boss to keep his word. Wow. Think about that. So if you have to break your word, then do it.
I mean, it sounds like what you were talking about with directors.
Yes. I mean, look at politicians. They give you their word. No new taxes. This, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And you know me, I never talk about politics on my show. I don't believe in that. But, and then they turn around and then they do something else. So that's why I think a lot of presidents read Machiavelli. You know, but he was a character that, you know, he really believed that might makes right. But think about that. Does it? I don't know. And, you know, there was there's a podcast on now. It's a wonderful podcast by Michael Franzese. And I happen to like it very much. And he was in the life. I mean, he's the real deal. He was a gangster. As you know, I never tell people I was a gangster because I wasn't. I never came off as a gangster. I was never in the mob at all. I hung out with wise guys from a little boy, and for some reason I was blessed to remember a lot of the things they said in their stories. But I was never a wise guy. Anyway, getting back to Michael's show, he said two things that I disagree with him, because he talks about Machiavelli too and the mob. And I do believe that, one, first of all, he said that De Niro wasn't right. He didn't see De Niro as the father in Bronx Tale, and I totally disagree with that. In fact, he's the only person I've ever heard ever say that. But he loved the movie, and he gave it a wonderful review, and I appreciate that. He said that he didn't see Bob. Yes, Bob always plays the flashy role in the, you know, in Jimmy Burke and all that stuff, and all in Goodfellas. And
it was your father.
What?
It was your father.
I know it was my father.
Yeah, I think you have a pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. You're right, Dante. That's my son, Dante. I think I have a good gauge on how he played my dad, because he hung out with my dad for a month. And there was a quiet strength that Bob played. There was an undertone. There was something about the quality that he did. I thought it was just a great role. I thought he did great. Anyway, but that's, look, art is subjective, so he felt he didn't. I just disagree with that. And the second thing I disagree with, I don't know where I got on talking about Michael, but the second thing I do disagree is that he said it's better to be loved than feared. Yes, I agree with him. If you're Chaz Palminteri or if you're Michael Franzese, yes. Not if you're Sonny. Not if you're a boss. No. Machiavelli says, if you're in that world, I was not in that world. If you're in that world, it's better to be feared, because love goes by the wayside. You know, you could have wise guys who love you, but you know what? If they find out you're skimming, or you're taking a little too much money, as much as they love you, it doesn't matter. They will kill you. And the reason why they don't kill you is they're afraid of you. If they're afraid of you and they're walking on eggshells, you'll stay a boss a lot longer. I mean, that's my opinion. Dante, what's that famous line in Goodfellas? Oh, they don't come at you with angry with weapons or something like that. They come at you with smiles.
That's right.
Smiles, right, yeah. A great writer, a friend of mine who was a great writer, Bobby Maresco, who wrote Crash and wrote Million Dollar Baby with Paul Haggis, great writer-director. Actually, it's Bobby's line who said to me once, and I've stolen that line because I've said it many times, but I always try to give Bobby credit all the time. It's always a friend who does the deed. Wow. Yeah, Bobby said that to me once, and I never forgot it because it's so true. It's always your friend that will do it. And that's Machiavelli, you know. And another thing he said, he goes, a boss must know when to act immorally. Wow. Think about that. That's why a lot of people look at this book and they say, the devil, he's the devil. You know, but is he the devil? That's why I wanted to devote a podcast to this. You should read Machiavelli, the people that are listening to this. And you decide. There's a wonderful book called What Would Machiavelli Do? I think it's a takeoff on What Would Jesus Do? And you put the two people, it's a paradox. What would Jesus do? What would Machiavelli do? Well, I know what Machiavelli would do. Machiavelli would say, he said this, the weak will always be exploited by the strong unless they can defend themselves. Wow. Now, we can get into a lot of things there politically, but let's not. Respect is a big thing. Respect. A boss always has to be respected. I told you that story I think I said it in another podcast. It deserves repeating. When I came back from LA in 1994, everything was going great. Everything, you know, I was flying high. I just got nominated for an Academy Award. And I ran into some of my friends on the corner when I went back to my neighborhood. And I think I could tell this story again, right?
Yeah, why not? Please.
Yeah. And I'm back there, and all of a sudden, my friends are there, and I'm talking to this one guy, which I will not mention his name, of course. And I said, oh, come on, what do you know? Something like that. What the fuck do you know, actually? I said. And I felt tension with everybody. And he said, can I talk to you a second, Chaz? I said, yeah, what's up? And he got me by my elbow, you know, the elbow walk they give you. And he walked me over to the side and said, you know about me, right? You know what happened. I go, no, I don't. I really didn't. I haven't been around the neighborhood in a while. He said, you know, that thing, it happened. And then I realized what he said. Because I remember, he just got made, and he became a made guy. And I said, oh, yes, I know that. I heard about that thing. For some reason, we don't say it. And I said, I think that's great, and congratulations. And I hugged him, and I kissed him, and he kissed me. He goes, oh, thanks, man. He goes, but you can't talk to me like that, you know, anymore. And I was like, I said, yeah, but you know, I didn't mean it. We're friends. And he goes, I know, but you just can't do that with people around. And I said, I get it. I totally understand. And I said, I was sorry. And that was it.
Now, do you think people think of Machiavelli as the devil because they're afraid to accept it's the truth about themselves?
I think, Michael, that's a very good question. Are they afraid to accept the truth about themselves and about humanity? Probably, maybe. I think that has something to do with it, you know? Because in the end, people will always save themselves. Maybe there's some rare people who won't. Like, in certain circumstances, I do believe a parent would jump in front of a moving train for their child. I know I would. I know my wife would. And I know my children, when they become parents, they will. I think that's a very good point, Michael. I think they're afraid to admit that man is that bad. When I say man, I mean obviously men and women.
Because you were saying like people will defend their child, but the people you fuck over in life are somebody else's child. You know what I mean? Like it's
yes, that's a very good point. It comes back to what we talked about. Is it better to be loved or feared? You know, as a human being, as Chaz Palminteri, I would rather be loved. Yes. But as one of these guys, probably I would rather be feared.
Availability. The people in this neighborhood that see me every day that are on my side, they feel safe because they know I'm close. And that gives them more reason to love me. But the people that want to do otherwise, they think twice because they know I'm close. And that gives them more reason to fear me.
Is it better to be loved or feared?
That's a good question. It's nice to be both, but it's very difficult. But if I had my choice, I would rather be feared. Fear lasts longer than love. Friendships that are bought with money mean nothing. You see how it is around here. I make a joke, everybody laughs. I know I'm funny, but I'm not that funny. It's fear that keeps them loyal to me.
And now, have you ever seen somebody who's abiding by Machiavelli, like one of these wise guys, and it goes south?
Oh, I mean, it's not always perfect, but usually in the end, Machiavelli was right. When it comes to that world, I'll give you an example. Like I said, Borscht should try to keep their word, only if it benefits them. If it doesn't benefit you, a boss and a wise guy should not keep his word. That's what he's trying to say. Or a president, or a prince, or a king should not keep his word. Okay? You cannot expect others to keep their word.
Well, but only because you don't keep your word.
No, but...
If everybody kept their word, then you could expect that other people would keep their word.
I understand that, my son, but that's that's very idealistic, okay? So Machiavelli...
But it all starts with you.
Yes, but
Machiavelli... If you keep your word...
Okay, stop arguing with me. Machiavelli is saying, in the real world, this is the way it is.
Look at me. Command. I'm the one who did this to you. Remember me.
Getting back to Machiavelli, a few other things that he said that I made some notes down. A boss should always appear to be virtuous, but he should be cunning like a fox and strong like a lion. I don't know. Could you argue with that? I mean, could you really argue with that? A king or a wise guy? You know? And Machiavelli always said, and I know they use this in The Godfather, he said, anyone could be killed if they're not afraid to die. Anyone could be killed if the person that's trying to kill him is not afraid to die. Well, and we know that's true. I mean, God, right? How about this one here? A boss must never remain neutral. You must take a side. If you do not, the winner will threaten you and the loser will not befriend you. Wow. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Sonny was right. Sonny was right. Think about that, what he's saying. That's why reading Machiavelli, it just kind of opens your eyes to things, you know? I mean, I remember this one guy, and I'll tell you this quick story. I had this guy, I don't want to say his name because he's a good friend of mine today. I'll just tell you, he lives out in Vegas. And he was working for the wise guys. And he was like a running numbers, you know, and he finally got a break. And I think he was making like, I don't know, $600-$700. This is in the late 60s. That's a lot of money, right? Cash. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm pulling in some big bread. He goes, I make about 600. I steal about four. And I said, you steal about, why are you stealing four? I said, the guy's giving you a break. You're finally making money. You're stealing. He goes, I got to steal. I said, why? He goes, he'll have no respect for me if I don't. I said, what? He said, don't you know he steals from his boss? I steal from him. If I don't steal, he's going to fire me. I don't know. where he came up with this logic. But he was saying, I want my boys to respect me, so I got to be a player. So he stole from him. Could you figure that out? But anyway, Machiavelli and the mob, there's a fascination between both of them. If you really have some time, I really think you should pick up a copy of The Prince and read it, because it's an eye-opener, and I think it could help you in a way that in life. Okay, God bless you all, and don't forget, hit that subscribe button. If you have any questions, it's chazpalmenteri show@gmail.com. God bless you all. See you next week.